Hey guys, welcome back to the Black and Bold podcast, where we talk about interesting news and topics each week. I'm Luxon.
I'm Nishan.
And you're listening to WHUS Stores 91.7 FM. And we're going to get into our new segment. Today, we're going to start talking about the Stanley Cup craze that's been going on for a little while now. We actually are going to bring up a bit of interesting news regarding Stanley Cups.
So, as you guys might have known, there's been a very irrational obsession over these Stanley Cups, which I believe first garnered popularity on TikTok. And for those who don't know, Stanley Cups are just regular-ass cups. Like they're like a thermos that keeps your hot drinks hot and your cold drinks cold. And you could literally go to any store and get that.
Yeah, the only distinction is it has a handle on the side and a
metal?
Yeah. No, it's not a metal straw. Okay. It is a plastic, actually. A plastic straw that comes out that I guess people find. I don't know what's the craze about it or why they're so interesting. They literally mirror a lot of common cups and thermoses nowadays. But, I mean, hey, maybe it's just a name tied to it.
I think the handle makes it worse. It seems more uncomfortable to hold.
It feels and looks like a clunky product. Like, I don't like just having the handle right there. I prefer when I, like, grab cups for there just to be nothing there and me to just grab the body of the cup while I'm drinking something. But, yeah.
But don't worry, guys. You can get it in pink.
Yeah, you get it in pink, red, yellow, blue, any color that you want.
Yeah, but the limited edition pink Stanley Cups, like, have officially sold out. They were a real craze, like, to the point where they're now being resold for, like, $200 and plus.
Yeah, these cups were being sold through Starbucks only at Target Starbuckses. So, I mean, they weren't at the regular Starbucks stores, thankfully, because I remember I worked there in the summer. I mentioned this in a previous podcast, and I don't know how crazy it would have gotten if they were sold in regular stores. I can say for sure we would have been getting calls like dang near all day, because I heard that was the case the last time that they did one of these limited edition drops with the red Stanley Cup, and I'm just glad it was only available at Target Starbucks's. But yeah.
Yeah, like I heard that it was a it's like a Valentine's Day thing, and that's why people are going crazy about it.
Yeah, it was definitely a bloodbath. I've seen like a good couple of TikToks and videos just regarding the whole pink Stanley Cup thing, and they were resold for a shit ton of money. I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah, it's to the point where this lady just straight up stole 65 of them.
Yeah,
like she was caught with about 2.5K altogether, 2,500. That's
yeah, she stole 65 Stanley Cups in total, exactly. And people buy these for like 50 and they flip it, resell it for like 200 plus. It's crazy.
Yeah, so according to CNN, like we were trying to figure out why people do this. Apparently, FOMO seems to be the big reason, you know, fear of missing out. You know, obviously, you have your typical marketing strategies and like it's limited edition or, you know, just branding. I don't know where the fuck Stanley Cups got popular from, like aside from maybe, like I said, TikTok, but I don't know, man.
I don't really know either. I mean, people are just sheep and they like to hop onto the next craze. Like, there's I don't see the appeal to the Stanley Cup, but I mean, to each their own, like any cup will really do. But I guess the Stanley name being tied to the specific cup just gives it a bit more hype and makes it a bit more appealing to people. But I don't get it. But
I get that trends are a thing, but like this is ridiculous. Like, I mean, at least they're not like killing each other like that Popeye's chicken sandwich. Remember that? Like, you know how crazy people can get into like just trends,
like products and stuff like that. But yeah, it's crazy, bro. Like, I bet there were a couple like injuries, maybe like a couple altercations, couple scuffles, you know, things like that. I mean, if you could buy something for 50 and flip it to like 200 plus, I feel like you would, you know, do a little bit more than the typical person for that sort of cup. But yeah,
Yeah, like, that's just the things that people do for this kind of shit. Mm-hmm. But speaking of harm and death or whatever, Supreme Court has officially denied an inmate's claim for stay of execution. According to NBC, the inmate named Kenneth Smith was actually scheduled to be executed for the murder of Elizabeth Sennett in 1988. And he's actually supposed to be the first person executed via nitrogen hypoxia, basically gas. Like, mm-hmm. And it's a new experimental method of the death penalty proposed by the state of Alabama.
Yeah, I heard that nitrogen hypoxia is just like pure nitrogen. It's not like, it doesn't have any other like elements in it. Like, you're getting the pure element itself, and I know that's deadly to people and just mammals in general.
Yeah, it prevents like oxygen, so you can't breathe. Mm-hmm. Like, the reason why they did this is because it's been claimed to be a more efficient and painless method of execution compared to like your typical ways, mm-hmm. like lethal injection. Mm-hmm. Apparently, you're supposed to be like already unconscious before death.
Yeah, I heard that the lethal injection did pose some problems because there were times where the state couldn't find like a vein, or the doctors couldn't find a vein to just make the injection, or people were still somewhat conscious during their like lethal injection, which causes them pain. So it wasn't a completely painless process for them. So, I mean, it's interesting to see them branching out to a new method, but I mean, I don't like people dying. I feel like there's definitely going to be some ethical concerns, especially since this is like a very new and experimental sort of thing. But yeah. What are your thoughts on this?
I've said this in previous episodes, like I think all the way since the third episode, that I am like adamantly anti-death penalty. Mm-hmm. I would just opt for life in prison. Mm-hmm. So he did, like we said before, he did claim for a stay of execution, which basically means he wanted it to be postponed. But of course, they denied it. And at the time of this video, the execution would have taken place. Mm-hmm. I also know that both Oklahoma and Mississippi have also approved this method, mm-hmm. just haven't implemented it yet.
Yeah, looks like it's getting around.
Yeah, honestly, I thought that we were kind of over the death penalty, but, you mm-hmm. know, I yeah. guess not. Like, you know, it's dependent on states, but.
Yeah, I mean, the death penalty is usually done in pretty rare cases because it costs, like, a good amount of money just to, like, set up everything.
Yeah, it
just
is.
Just, like,
it
the does. Equipment and just, like, organizing final meal, just, like, doctors, and the electricity bill is probably like super crazy because of what's being done and things like that. But
it's a lot of work, like and I get that it's for truly heinous crimes. It's mm-hmm. just that I feel as though them being imprisoned forever is like the same. It's fulfilling enough in the sense that they're never gonna see freedom, you know. Mm-hmm. It's not like they're going to get away for their actions. They're going to die in prison, which is fine by me if they commit, like, such terrible acts.
Yeah, I don't feel like we should have that much say or be able to judge if someone should live or die. I feel like that's just very morally concerning. I don't like just that idea.
The government having the power to strip away the right of life is concerning to me, which is why that's mainly the reason why I'm anti-death penalty. But
yeah, I'm also somewhat against it because just like I mentioned with it being extremely costly, I feel like for some cases it could get to a point of there being like diminishing returns for just the whole thing. And I don't feel like it's a very effective method of giving someone a death sentence or just giving someone. How do I want to word this? I don't feel like it's the right thing to do, just simply put.
Yeah, this is very odd news for me. Like I said, I just did not expect it coming. I did not expect them to be testing new ways of the death penalty, but here we are.
Yeah. I mean, to clarify my point about the diminishing return things, I meant like the amount of money that they would put into the whole thing. I think they also get paid for doing that. It wouldn't be worthwhile in that regard, but yeah. Okay.
Yeah, but unfortunately, we still have like some topics about death. It's not going to get much better with the University of Georgia's live mascot dying this past week. His name is Q the Bulldog, better known as Ugga 10th. He died on Tuesday morning at the ripe age of 10. He served as the mascot from 2015 to 22, where he witnessed the most wins from Georgia's football program, including quite a couple of national championships.
Dang. I'm saddened by this news. I don't like hearing about animals dying or getting hurt. I love dogs, and I don't have a personal connection with this dog. I do have a personal connection with Jonathan, UConn mascot, but like, this is definitely some saddening news. Yeah, I don't
sorry,
like
guys.
Dogs dying. I feel like we've been getting into a lot of like somber news for this news segment, but I mean,
it'll pick up a bit.
It'll pick up a bit. I mean, especially with our main topic, but definitely thoughts and prayers to just the whole campus over there. I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah,
their dog died, and I mean, God willing, they will get a new dog and, you know, fall in love all over again.
I believe that they have a new one already. It's just that Q was he was already retired, most likely. Mm. I know that our Jonathan is like on the way to being to retirement, because he is, I believe, 10 years old too. Mm. But fortunately, I believe Huskies do live long lives, so he'll be here for a little bit longer. It's just that, you know, we won't be seeing him that much. You know, 15 is taking over.
Yeah, hopefully I don't hear any news about him in the remainder of our time being here on campus.
Yeah, I want to see both of them.
For sure.
Yeah, but Q will always be remembered as a damn good dog.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and to cap off the sad news, a Newington man was charged with a DUI for hitting a UConn student.
Dang, this is actually a little bit of local news now. Now we're getting on campus.
Yeah, according to Channel 3 Eyewitness, he was charged with the illegal operation of a motor vehicle under the influence of alcohol, failure to yield to pedestrian, and second-degree assault. Like, the accident happened near North, though.
A lot happens in North. North is getting a very bad rep.
It's always
had a bit of a bad rep, but this just adds to that.
Yo, there's 2 weeks in a row where there's like some crime incident. Mm-hmm. First the robbery and now this.
Yeah.
Like, it's crazy. But he said he requested to go to the hospital and his bond was set for $100,000.
God damn. $100,000?
Yeah.
Bro, think about that. That is 2.5 years of tuition at UConn.
Yeah.
That's crazy, bro.
I don't think he was a UConn student, but that is still a lot.
That is an absurd amount of money.
Yeah, I think he was only 22 years old, too. And
dang, so young, too.
Yeah.
God dang.
But fortunately, UConn stated that the student will make a full recovery. So thoughts and prayers to him, and hopefully he does, in fact, make a full recovery.
Yeah.
But like, let's get out of that sad news.
Let's brighten up the podcast a little bit now.
And we'll get into this week's topic, which is our favorite movies of 2023.
Mm-hmm. I will start. I'm going to say my first one is going to have to be Oppenheimer. Oppenheimer was a great 2023 movie. Christopher Nolan, you definitely ran another great movie. I definitely love what he did with the soundtrack and the music. Definitely something incredibly memorable. Mm-hmm. I liked the casting that he did with Cillian Murphy and Florence Pugh, as well as Robert Downey Jr. A lot of great actors in there.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I like a lot of the shots that he did and just how he utilized color very well. It was a lot of vibrant colors in some of the scenes, and I like just a reoccurring theme of just the atomic bomb and the nukes and stuff like that. Very interesting movie. I didn't expect it to be coming out, but I'm definitely glad that he had the idea to come out with the movie, make the movie, and just allow the masses to enjoy it.
Yeah, for me, two things to start off. One, Cinema Day is slept on.
Mm-hmm.
We went there for $7 tickets.
Yeah, dirt cheap.
Yeah.
So, I think it was actually a bit cheaper than $7.
It might have been. I just don't remember.
It might have been like four or something like
that.
Yeah,
it might have been four.
Dirt cheap.
Yeah, but like I highly recommend. I think it was mm-hmm. four because seven is like discount yeah. like on a regular. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I highly recommend checking out Cinema Day. When was it again?
For sure. I have to think. It was last semester. Was it?
It says that.
Give a second, guys.
It says that Cinema Day will likely be on Sunday, August 27th. Which is very interesting. And like I said, just go get your tickets. Go get your $4 tickets. He was right. It was $4.
Yep.
So, yeah, get your cheap tickets.
When it rolls back around, guys, go get your tickets. Also, shout out to National Popcorn Day. That was January 19th of this year. That happened not too long ago. So we got on the topic of movies and Oppenheimer and the pros of the movie. Now we're going to get into
my second thing I was going to say before we move on is that I know a lot of people were like the Barbenheimer type. Yeah. We can't not mention the Barbenheimer. I didn't go see Barbie.
I didn't see it either.
I heard it was a good movie, mm-hmm. and it possibly could have been interesting. It's just that it didn't really speak to me.
Yeah. It wasn't appealing enough to make me go out of my way to spend time to see the movie.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So you won't hear us talking about Barbie in this. Barbie fans.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, but yeah.
We're not Barbs.
Now we'll go into the cons. Starting
now we will.
With the fact that it was very long. I know, like, long movie, big deal. But it was, like, 3 hours long, about twice as long as your average movie. For someone with, like, a short attention span, I will say sometimes there was parts where it was, like, hard to keep focus.
Mm-hmm.
However, I will say that I also think in a weird way a pro is that the movie did a good enough job of keeping me enticed and that I didn't fully lose, like, focus. Mm-hmm. But I think there was, like, a stretch where I was, like, it lost me, and then I got back into it.
Yeah, I mean, after 3 hours, those movie seats get pretty hot. Like you get a little bit uncomfortable, a little bit sweaty. It's like when is movie going? Because 3 hours, that's like Avatar type of timing. You remember how long Avatar: Way of Water was?
Actually,
let me check right now. I know it was excruciatingly long. I think it was about
that
around
like three.
Yeah, it was around the three-hour mark, but I'm going to get exact numbers right now.
Yeah, I remember the Batman in 2022. That was, like, also 3 hours.
Yeah, I was enticed all the way through that movie, so I didn't mind
it
too much.
Yeah, I will say that. But for those who are, like, into, like, historical movies, you know, and all of that, of course, you might have a different interest than us.
Mm-hmm.
You might be more enticed into it throughout the whole movie.
Mm-hmm.
So
for sure. I have the running time for the movie. It was 3 hours and 12 minutes. So
that's insane.
12 minutes on Oppenheimer, but still two very long movies.
Oppenheimer probably
definitely loved Oppenheimer, though.
Clean three. Mm-hmm. But I would say the second con, though, is it kind of relates to that. I feel like the movie was so long, it added some unnecessary parts in it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that sex scene made no sense. Like, there were multiple sex scenes of them fucking in the office, and I was like, what?
Yeah, I mean, it was just like, I don't know. I feel like they just threw that shit in there.
It was straight out of nowhere. Was it to captivate the audience? I was like,
yeah. I mean, that the scene where they were, like, interviewing him and the shit popped up, that was more funny than, like,
yeah, it was.
Fucking, like,
I remember that.
Yeah.
Yeah, my childish brain could not take that, like, but it was, like, what was the point of it? It was just so unwarranted, unrelated to the whole situation. And I get that, like, you know, he was, like, there's partially a love, like, a
I
subplot.
Feel like that scene was meant to be more comical than actually serious, because If you guys don't know the scene that we're talking about, definitely watch the movie Oppenheimer to find out. Shout out to Christopher Nolan.
You horny bastards.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I feel like, personally, this is my thing. One thing I did like about the movie is that it did go into, like, the ethics and morale with the Hiroshima bombing and, you know, how he feels guilty about it. However, I feel like at on a certain level, he could have gone, like, deeper into, like, how it affected the people. I get that it might be too controversial, so I would lay off of that, like, criticism a little bit.
It's a very fine line that you have to tiptoe around.
Yeah, but I also do think, like, it's important to get the aspects, like, the perspectives of everyone. It feels like so everyone's voice is heard, you know?
For sure, for sure.
Yeah, but Oppenheimer overall was a good movie, I would say. It's like an A-tier movie. I can honestly give it an A-. I feel like aside from, like, the two, like,
rate it S through F. S is the highest.
A.
Okay, so an A?
Yeah, it's an A minus. It's in the A tier.
All right. Fair enough. I would give it, I would knock it up a little bit higher. It was, for me, it was an S. I really, like, enjoyed the movie, like, throughout, although it was excruciatingly long, like I mentioned. It, you know, it captivated me, and it made me think about just something I haven't thought about in a long while, because the last time I heard about just the atomic bombings was probably in some history class, and just, like, hearing about that again, just, like, in a movie that was actually interesting and entertaining, it was informative, enticing, and it was just all around a good movie.
I will say this from the get-go, it actually managed to turn, like, a what I otherwise would think is a boring concept into something that was an enjoyable watch. I genuinely enjoyed it. But the parts where it lost me, I just knocked it down a little for that. But moving on to our next movie, we got Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3.
Yeah, definitely a hilarious movie.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's the funniest movie of the load we got right now.
Yeah, that movie had some solid jokes, and they weren't just, like, hit or miss jokes. They were, like, solid punching jokes, like, very good jokes.
I feel like the problem with Marvel sometimes, especially in the recent, like, movies, is that they try too hard to be funny, or they're forced jokes. Like, I remember the Black Panther Wakanda Forever movie, and I did thoroughly enjoy the movie, but some of those jokes were just absolute misses. Like, the what are those? I cringed at that.
Yeah.
This isn't even a joke, but I remember the whole time, like, the Haiti type thing. That was funny. Yeah, that was unironic. That was ironically funny, because that was unintentional.
Yeah, unintentionally funny, yeah.
Yeah, but aside from that, like, I'd say Guardians of the Galaxy is one of, like, the funniest movies I've seen in a minute. It's one of the few times I've actually I've actually laughed out loud to a Marvel movie in a minute.
Funny movie, solid plot. Like, we got to see just more of Rocket's background. I feel like that was a very interesting storyline to take for the movie. Yeah. What else can I say about it?
Honestly, I'd love to, like, I'll go a little bit more into Rocket's backstory. I really did love, like, the backstory, because it's, like, it shows where he came from and what he is now. Honestly, like, the change in personality he has, you know, he's literally, like, he's usually, like, fucking grumpy as shit, like, you know.
It definitely showed a lot of character development and evolution in his character just throughout the movie, and his origin story up until where he is now. And it was interesting to get that insight into just where he started out and where he is now.
I don't know if it's a hot take. I'll save it for later. But going into any cons, do you have any cons of the movie?
Do I have any cons of the movie? Honestly, no. I was laughing so much that I couldn't even, like, think of any cons off the top of my head. So right now I would say no, but if anything does come up, I will vocalize it.
Honestly, I would say, yeah, I didn't have many cons with the movie. There weren't many issues that I had. Maybe it could be, like, maybe pacing. Maybe some parts took too long, some parts were too short. Maybe they could have focused more on Rocket himself, like, at the very end when he was, like, you know, he was near death. But honestly, I think it makes up with that beautiful backstory. I think the ending is very promising. I find, like, the new Guardians to be, like, pretty damn cool. Like, I'm actually looking forward to seeing that.
Now that I think about it, one con that I can think of is I wish that they made Adam Warlock's character just a bit more confident. And I feel like he was a bit too much of a dunce, and I feel like they should have made him a bit more confident, because I don't like the dynamic of him just being just a blissful idiot and then his mom just being the intelligent one out of the two. I feel like they should have had some level of intelligence based on the fact that he was kind of like the first villain that we got like in some of the earlier scenes, and he was kind of seen as the bad guy. So I wish he was seen as a bit more confident, but something minor.
Yeah, but honestly, if I were to rate this, I'd give it an A-plus tier.
A-plus tier?
Yeah. I'm not trying to say that as my standards are really high, but it's like, I'm saying that as in, like, I feel like there's got to be that one S.
Uh-huh.
But, like, this is, like, very close to it.
Yeah, this was an A for me. This was an A.
Honestly, it's probably my favorite Marvel movie in a minute.
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. Yeah. I do not know what will top this.
Yeah, that's what I was saying before. I don't know if that's a hot take, but that's how I feel. I feel like Marvel movies, it's not that they've been bad. I feel like they've been in a little bit of a slump where it's like it's not as entertaining. This one solved that.
Yeah, I feel like it was also very interesting, because I feel like whenever you come out with just like the second volume of a movie or the third volume of a movie,
sequels.
It starts to like deteriorate just like the further that you drag the movie out for. And I feel like with the case for most movies, like the first one is usually pretty good, and then the like directors and producers start to fuck up the sequels just going on. But they did really well with this movie.
Yeah, I feel like they did a good job of keeping it fresh without it like dragging into the ground, like without it wearing out, you know. An example of a movie that doesn't do that well is Insidious: The Red Door, which is like a fourth sequel or something like that.
We're gonna get into that, but you remember that scene with the guy where she said you feel like dancing and you started dancing in the movie?
Yes, that
funniest scene in the movie.
That was the best
by
scene
far,
in the movie.
Bro. That was hilarious. I remember me and Nishan were laughing for just like fucking. Oh my God, it had to be like 3 minutes. And then we kept on laughing somewhat throughout the movie because we just both looked at each other and thought of that scene, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. This makes up for Doctor Strange.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you remember
Doctor Strange?
Yeah,
it was a bit of a bust. Not going to lie.
I didn't even dislike it, but it was like, it was all right. It was just that, you know, it just wasn't that memorable to me.
Yeah. To be honest, think about the first Doctor Strange movie. It was okay for me. Like, I didn't really have too strong feelings towards it. And I feel like just the movies that he's had so far haven't really hit the mark for me for just being a good movie. I feel like they've just been average movies at best. But, you know, Volume 3 made up for it. So, shout out to Guardians of the Galaxy. You know,
I had to throw that in. I know it's like 22, but still.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but moving on to Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse.
Another great movie for the year. About to say, I have to say the first three movies we just mentioned, probably some of the best movies for that year. Not gonna lie, because Spider-Man was just another solid, just humorous, interesting, entertaining movie that just left you wanting more, which is why we're going to get into a part two pretty soon, and I'm very excited for that movie.
Yeah, this is definitely one of the most entertaining movies I've seen in a minute. I was captivated from the very beginning. The animation was starting off. The animation art styles, beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
I am aware of the controversy with... Mm-hmm. With the fucking artists, you know, the inhumane conditions, overworking. Mm-hmm. I do hope that they do get, like, the proper work and, like, pay that they deserve.
I hope they can ameliorate that issue.
Yeah, and if it does take them a little bit longer than this year, then I'm fine with that to be, like, to start off. But even then, with what they did, it was beautiful.
Yeah.
It's, like, probably my favorite, like, art, like, animation I've seen in, like, a movie in a minute.
Yeah, I liked the new characters they introduced. Like, I like Spider-Punk. Spider-Punk he was cool.
Yeah, the designs of the characters were fire, too. Like, yeah. Spider-Punk was dope. Like,
Spider-Man 2099 was badass, bro. Like, he had a cool design. Probably one of the... He's probably one of the better-looking Spider-Mans in the movie because he was just so cold.
Yeah, I did love, like, just how he met all the Spider-Mans and how he was running away from them.
Mm. Like, I think you mean Spider-Men and Spider-Woman.
The Spider-People.
Mm. He met the Spider-Verse.
Yeah, but anyways, I did like that. That was one of my favorite scenes. It just highlighted all the different characters. It highlighted all the different, like, art styles, all the different, like, designs. Mm-hmm. It was just so entertaining. It was just so visually stimulating to me.
Yeah, I liked... My favorite scene was when they were chasing Miles after he found out the news about the canon events and his dad and stuff like that. And I felt like that was another entertaining scene because it showcased all the characters, and a chase scene will always hit for the most part. And he got away at the end of it. So
yeah. Honestly, another thing I will say is the relationship between Miles and Gwen. Like, I did enjoy that. I'll say that. Like, it's not like I had anything, like, against them in the beginning. It's just that I didn't expect it to be, like, that, like, heartfelt, that genuine. You know, a lot of movies have, like, the tendencies to have, like, two characters, and they're just together for, like, whatever reason, or, like, it's kind of forced. I feel like it's pretty genuine. Like, their friendship is pretty, like, real.
Yeah. I feel like it goes just beyond the typical just love interest, romantic sort of thing. It has layers to it.
I also like how I like how Spider-Gwen has, like, her own subplot with her dad and all that, you know, like, her motivations and how she, like, killed her best friend, like, accidentally. I did like that moment. It's like the characters are also well fleshed out. This is a lot of pros to this movie. I can't really lie. I'm not even finished there.
Yeah. Can you think of any cons?
The cons? Gotta give me a second.
Did you like the spot?
I did. Like, I forgot to mention the villain. The villain is very good. Yeah, I did like, I will say, like, I would say one con, I guess I could bring it up, is that, is it really a con? Because I was about to say maybe his motivations need to be more fleshed out, but they were pretty fleshed out in the movie. Like, he ruined, like, Miles unintentionally ruined his life, and he's trying to ruin his life now. But, like, and a lot of the villains, like just want to fuck shit up. So I can't, like, that's intentional.
Yeah, that's all you really need in a movie.
Yeah, honestly, I don't have many criticisms of the movie. You know, that sounds a little bit of a cop out, but I genuinely liked the movie.
Neither do I. I mean, unless I go into a very deep analysis of it and just nitpick very specific niche details, I can't really think of anything.
Maybe I would say the weakest part, like, I'm trying to think. Maybe it was, I guess, the parents, if I had to choose something. Like, I feel like the mom was a little too oblivious of what was going on.
I mean, that is to be expected. Secret identity and I don't stuff know. Like that.
Sometimes I just didn't like, I don't like that trope where the parents are, like, a little bit uncharacteristically oblivious. But at the same time, it's like, that's the whole point. I don't know. Yeah. I'm just spitballing right now. I legit have nothing right now.
Give it some time.
Yeah, but of course, we can't not mention the ending. And we're not going to tell you, because if you haven't watched it, you better watch it, because that is one of the biggest plot twists I've ever seen.
Oh, speaking about the ending, I like the song at the end, just a little, you know.
The soundtrack was actually pretty impressive.
I was going to mention the song and get into the soundtrack, because I really liked the theme for Spider-Man 2099. It was, you remember the scene?
Yeah.
Not the scene, the theme.
Yeah.
Very interesting sounding themes and soundtrack throughout the movie, so shout out to the team.
So how would you rate this?
This is getting a, I'm getting outside of the SF ranking system. I'm not going to the 1 through 10 system. I give this a 9.8. It's getting a 9.8 from me.
I would put it in S tier. I'll say that.
Okay.
Yeah, that was the S I was looking for. Because, like great. It was all around great, and I have very little complaints. Good job.
Mm.
Yeah, but, of course, we got to move on now to Creed 3.
Mm-hmm. That was a good movie as well. I mean, it's been a little while since I've seen the movie, and I know when it came out, it was going crazy out of the box office and just online because of all of the anime references that it had with, like, it mirroring, like, Dragon Ball and Naruto and a lot of other animes. I feel like that was a very smart move by the director, and having two great actors like Michael B. Jordan and Jonathan Majors, another, he was a very prominent actor at the time, unfortunately. Things have happened with his career and reputation, unfortunately, but I mean, two big actors, definitely action-packed, you know. I didn't really like the whole, like, storyline between him and, like, Damien, and just, like, the cops and how he kind of, like, took the blame. I don't feel like it was too interesting. I feel like that was very generic. Mm-hmm. Like, it didn't really reach for the unexpected, or it wasn't really anything new or, like, experimental in a way. But, like, it felt like it was a very just generic storyline, common trope. You know, he took the fall, and now he comes back, he hates me, stuff like that. But that was a so-so storyline. But the movie as a whole was successful.
It was enticing. It was entertaining for me, and I did enjoy, of course, Adonis Creed. Mm-hmm. Like, Michael B. Jordan is an excellent actor. I'll say that. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he's my favorite actor, but he might. Like, I don't know if he's my single favorite actor, but he's one of them.
Yeah, I wonder why they didn't bring back Sylvester Stallone to come in at any point in the movie. I found that to be a very interesting choice, because he was in a lot of the other previous Creed movies, and I feel like if he had just a little bit of a cameo or something, that would have been something cool to see. But yeah.
Yeah. If I had any cons about the movie, it would be like, it was kind of related to what you were saying. Mm-hmm. Just by virtue of it being a Creed movie, like, and it being the third, nevertheless,
mm-hmm.
the storylines are very simple.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, it's not necessarily a bad thing, but they can come off as cliche.
Yeah. If I'm being objective. Very predictable.
Yeah, so it's like, you know what's gonna happen. It's not like it's not like the others where it was like either it was unpredictable or delved into like a new like perspective of things that you wouldn't really think of. This one was very like cookie cutter, but I don't think it's in a bad way. It's like that doesn't make it terrible,
mm-hmm.
but I will say that honestly, to be real though, I can't think of much that they would be able to do with Creed outside of what they like set forward. Mm-hmm. I think they've done good for what they had to work with.
Mm-hmm.
But honestly, I would say it's probably one of those series where you probably should just cut it off now. And I feel like if it gets four, it gets way too repetitive.
Yeah, I was about to ask, do you foresee there being a fourth? Because I do not.
It's possible, but at the same time, I don't think it should happen.
Yeah, I feel like they wrapped up the Creed storyline pretty well, unless they're going to bring in something with his daughter being like a boxer, and then he helps train her because he's cooked, he's retired, like literally. That was his last fight.
If they do at least make it an offshoot and make it somewhat different, I feel like in those types of things, like where it's like an extension off of a movie, just go all the way into it being something different and don't use like the previous movies as a crutch for the quality. Like,
I don't even think his daughter could be in a spinoff, because in the movie she was Death, so I don't think that would work.
I can see them trying to have her work around it, like her death, like her deafness. But again, I feel like
the movie just wrapped up. But
but
it's a series.
I would say personally, Creed would be pretty entertaining. Although I would say of the previous three, it's probably the worst.
Out of the three, is the worst, but
just by competition, though.
Yeah, it was a solid movie for the year, but
B tier.
B tier.
Yeah,
C tier.
Really?
I'll put it C.
All right.
Well, average. C is average. Yeah. Average movie.
I'll put it B tier. I did enjoy it. Mm-hmm. It's just that, like, you know, yeah. It's just, it wasn't anything crazy.
I feel like if they got outside of just like the common tropes and just like a boxer movie, or if it was just a little bit less predictable, they could have gotten a bit of a higher rank, but I feel like C is a good place to put them, in my opinion.
To be fair, 2 was like that too, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. I've rated very similarly to 2. It's like there's nothing wrong with it. It's just that it doesn't do anything
different.
Completely different. Mm-hmm. It's just that I enjoyed them. I enjoy Michael B. Jordan as an actor.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'll give it a slightly higher mark.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so we are moving on to the Demon Slayer movie, which I have never fucking seen in my life. So I'm going to let Lexan take over.
I mean, this movie, it's a bit of a cop-out for movie that we liked for 2023, because the movie is basically just the whole season of the Swordsmith arc just clumped together.
Is it
just
like
in a movie form? It's just like all of the episodes in continuation with one another, pretty much.
I feel like
it's a cop out.
An actual movie or like a TV movie?
It's like a TV movie. It isn't like anything new or anything that we haven't seen. It's based off of a season that already like came out, so it's nothing new or exciting.
All right, word. All right, so what were your thoughts on it?
To be honest, I'll just give you my thoughts on the Swordsmith arc. Okay. Honestly, I feel like the Hashiras could have been a little bit stronger, if I'm being a bit honest, because I feel like the young Hashira especially, I feel like, you know, he shouldn't have been trapped in that one scene, and he should have displayed his Hashira-ness a bit better. And
what
I don't
scene?
Feel like the scene where he got trapped in a water bubble by this freaking demon.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, I don't really think that should have happened, based on the fact that they were really hyping him up to be just a cold Hashira. And especially since he's the youngest Hashira, he should show out a little bit. So I don't really feel like he showed out as much as he should have.
Mm-hmm.
But it was nice to get into the origin stories of some of the Hashiras, just learning a bit more lore about them. And I mean, I'm glad that they got rid of some more of the blood wounds, and they're just building the demon corpse a bit up. No, building up the name of the Demon Slayer corpse up, because they got a couple more kills. And the last part about Nezuko being immune to the sun and her finally getting that gene, I feel like that set up the next season very nicely, because that was huge, because for thousands and thousands of years, the demons could never just walk out into the sunlight. And the fact that she was able to defy all that history and finally just get the gene for demons to do so really just, I don't know, I feel like it revolutionized just the whole world, or the whole world that they were living in at the time. And I feel like Muzan, he's going to be going hard for that gene, I'm not going to lie. I'm very interested to see where the next season is going to wind up. I heard it's like a Hashira training arc, but I don't read the manga. I'm mostly into like the actual like animated show. So very interested to see how that went. I know you haven't really seen the movie. It's a bit of a solo thing for me. But yeah, have you, I don't know, seen anything about Demon Slayer at all?
I know of it, and I've seen like certain scenes, but overall, I don't know much about it. I don't know.
I mean, I know you haven't seen the movie, but based on what you have seen and your impressions on the anime and the art style and it's in its totality, how would you rank it?
I won't say that I can fully give it a definitive ranking, but it does seem very interesting. And, like, I could definitely understand why people are enticed into it. I've seen, like, a couple of, like, the fight scenes, like clips.
Mm-hmm.
And they're pretty damn, like, it's interesting.
Tough.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're, like, captivating. The art style is great. I'll say that. Like, a lot of anime, like, have some of the greatest art styles I've seen. The animation is very fluid, very smooth, very action-oriented.
Yeah, some of these new-gen ones have been doing great with their art style. Very unique, like Demon Slayer, the new Bleach, how they just completely redid that art style into something more just sleek and clean and just polished. I also like JJK's art style. And what they've been doing with the series right now is fucking insane, bro. I'm very excited to see what happens just outside of the whole Shibuya arc and just after.
I will say my favorite of the scenes I've watched, One Piece. Like, new One Piece has some of the best, maybe the single best, like, animation I've seen and, like, an animated series.
Yeah, speaking of One Piece, I have to get caught up on the most recent episode. Like, you don't know, I know you don't know what's going on completely in One Piece, but they just entered a new arc in, like, the animated show right now.
Right.
And they kind of switched up their art style a little bit for that since they were just stepping onto new ground with that. And it's pretty, it looks pretty damn good. Pretty damn good. I mean, I know you started the anime and you're way earlier on, like freaking, you're like East Blue right now.
Yeah.
But yeah, like have you progressed outside of that or are you still kind of in East Blue?
Still within it.
Mm.
Yeah, like I haven't gotten too far, but yeah, I've seen clips like, you know, I won't say I'm fully up to date, but I've seen like Luffy's Gear 5, like And I heard that it's, like, his powers are based on, like, Tom and Jerry type, like, abilities, bro, like, animation.
You got to get caught up because they're literally just, like, entering into the new arc and it looks so sick, bro. Like, I really want you to get caught up so we can have these conversations, but god damn it, you got to watch the episodes, bro. All
right, word. Yeah, but, like, back onto movies. What was the worst movie of 2023? I know what you're going to say, but, you know, just say it.
Bro, this was a movie that you... this was a movie that me, you, our friends all went to see. Like, feel like it was an extreme waste of time. I seen the other movies within the series, and they definitely compared a lot better to the movie I'm about to mention. It was Insidious, The Red Door. Like, what the hell was that, bro?
This is an example of sequels that really just run the franchise to the ground. Like, it's all dried up, bro.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that, I was like, I hadn't watched any of the previous Insidious, like, movies prior. But, like, it was not good. I did not get the best impression.
It was just lazy, man. It was just like the fucking...
It was just boring.
Yeah, it was just like the directors just laid their dick in a sandwich and just fucking fed it to us. Because what the fuck was that, bro?
You have the strangest euphemisms ever, but okay.
Yeah, bro. I have a creative mind. Don't judge me. All
right. I don't even know if that's... Okay, whatever. Bro, like... You're telling me that at the end of the movie, all you had to do was paint the fucking door black? That was stupid. I was like...
Yeah, bro, like... So I don't even care if there's spoilers now, because you guys shouldn't waste your money on that dog shit, bro. Because, like, I don't even care, bro. It was just bad.
Yeah, don't watch
objectively speaking.
That is, I will say, it's not the absolute worst thing I've seen, but it's a pretty low D tier. Like, low D, maybe F.
Yeah,
but like I
very
would not
lowly ranked. But yeah,
yeah. It was like they did very little with like the son and the father, like and their like fucking trauma, and like you know like how like they have that connection or whatever. But like I just don't buy it. It's like so cheap.
You remember the black chick companion that he had in the movie? I feel like they made her character weird.
How?
I don't know. I feel like she was just
I feel like she was barely involved.
She was just like cringy and nerdy, but like in the bad way.
I felt like it was just so oddly paced. There was, like, certain parts of the movie. I think the beginning of the movie, like, went by for way too long, especially when he was in art school and, like, all the scare teases. But, like, I feel like the actual meat of, like, the story went by way too quickly. When he goes into, like, that actual, like, fucking... When he goes to, like, fucking hell. Yeah, like,
astral world.
Yeah, it's, like, way too... Shout out to
Travis Scott.
Way too short. It's like everything goes by so quickly. It's solved way too quickly. It's to the point where I can't feel anything. It's like it was to the point where I was just, I was almost dead ass convinced that the movie wasn't finished. And I thought that there was like some kind of fake out.
Yeah, as far as horror movies go, this was mediocre. Yeah. At best.
Yeah, it was bad. I can't even give it mediocre. It was just straight up bad.
No, I'm saying at best. Like it wasn't even that. But yeah.
Yeah, it's just, I would say just go watch some other fucking horror movies. Yeah,
watch the previous movies in the series. I would say check out the first Insidious and the second one. I like those. Those were pretty solid in my opinion. Don't check out the most recent one, though, because waste of time.
Yeah.
I wonder how they did in the box office, though. I gotta know.
They probably did pretty terribly.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go. Actually, let's go see it.
Yeah, their Rotten Tomatoes score is dookie.
Yeah, their Rotten Tomatoes score is pretty damn bad. It's a 37.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's to be expected. That's not the best. Yeah, but it made $189 million. I don't know if that's a good or a bad
thing. I don't know what the spectrum is for how successful movies are, but
Well, it's not that it was relatively successful, but I don't know, you just wasted your money there.
But all
I gotta say is that 2023 had a decent showing, like a solid showing, a good showing. I keep on changing it. It had a good showing of movies.
I agree. I mean, doing research for this episode and just picking out the movies that I liked, I got to see a lot of movies that I didn't get to check out that I'm going to at some point, because I saw Saw X, which was like the newest Saw, and I remember I saw the trailer for that, and I said to myself I was going to check it out, but I never did. But there were a couple movies that I saw that now I actually want to check out and go back to. But yeah.
Are you excited for that Joker sequel?
Not too excited. It's just, I feel like the Joker 2 movie would just be one of those movies where I hear about it. It's just like, oh, okay, they came out with a second one. Cool.
I'm going to try to watch it. I won't say I'm fully excited. I meant to say, like, are you looking forward to it? In which I'd say I am decently looking forward to it. I'm trying to look at some, like, watch some more movies, you know, get better reviews and all of that.
I would say somewhat, but I could live without it, though.
Yeah, but, you know, you already mentioned this, but Spider-Man, Spider-Verse 2, that's going to be the highlight of this year.
And also, I know this wasn't a 2023 movie, but the Batman movie was another honorable mention. And part 2, since we're talking about part 2, is going to be coming out relatively soon, so I'm excited for that movie as well.
Yeah, I'm excited for part 2 of the Batman. It's just that another 3 hours.
Yeah, I mean, the watch time for movies is just going up, just like a lot of things, economy and things of that nature.
Marvel's taking a little break this year. How many Marvel movies can you think of? Like, can you think of any?
Yeah, I can think of a couple.
That are for this year?
For this year?
Yeah.
Like,
not in general. In general,
I could think of, like, a bunch.
Yeah,
like,
that's what I'm saying. What Marvel movies are... Oh, Deadpool 3.
Oh, yeah.
That's going to be interesting.
That's going to be great.
I won't say...
I like the Deadpool franchise.
You know what we said about sequels, but...
Deadpool... Yeah, but, like, I feel like they're going to do solid with that. I like the franchise. They've done well with the first two movies, and I have high hopes.
Venom 3, too.
Mm-hmm.
Venom 3, T-O-O 2.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but Deadpool actually sounds kind of enticing. I'll go check it out. Yeah, go check it out. It's supposed to be on July 26th in American theaters.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's it for today. Thanks for tuning in to the Black and Bold podcast with your co-hosts, Nishan and
Luxon.
Be sure to check us out on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, WHUS.org. You know, we have our episodes every week on Saturdays at 10 p.m. You're listening to us on WHUS Stores 91.7 FM, and
have a good-ass day.